Good morning to everybody. It's a great pleasure once again to be able to share this word with you guys. On Mondays, we go to Hermano Tucio's house and we're studying there the first book of Timothy in chapter 3, and we've been there for a while, and the last verse on that chapter, 1 Timothy in chapter 3, I would like to read that. It's a good book for the believers to read, and for the young men also, and the young women, so that they could see how it says here, how they should, there's goals that you could have there, and there's things that you could follow to be a better person for the Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse here that I kept on thinking about has been on my mind quite a bit. It's the last verse of 1 Timothy and chapter 3, and verse 16. And without controversy, the great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received unto glory. We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of His word and what will be read also. See, this verse here has a lot that you could study upon if you like to study the word of God. There's a lot that you could learn from it, and there's a lot that you could find that you could teach others also. But it says here that a great is a mystery. A mystery is something that is unknown, how it has come to be, or there's questions about it, and there's nothing that you could have a for sure thing that it's, how is it there? But right here, that's not the way is we hear it here, or we could use it here. Right here is a mystery that's already been given to be revealed. There's mysteries like the Mayan, how they say that they disappeared, and other cultures and other people. Or there's this book that I can't remember the name, but there's this book of a language that has, nobody knows what it says of the book, because nobody knows that language. And I totally forgot, I should have wrote it down, but I totally forgot. But it's a mystery of what it is that it says in that book. There's writings and there's pictures, but nobody knows what it says. But it's totally different when we look at this mystery that is found in this book here. This mystery has already been revealed. It's a mystery that is given to be known already. Maybe in the past, when the prophets were in the days of the prophets and in the Old Testament, maybe it was not fully revealed, but only to those that were chosen by God to to be revealed to. But today, in this day, we see that that God has revealed this great mystery. And I would like to read first in another place. It's in Luke and chapter 1 and verse 26. And another thing that I found here was that how we read that it had said, seen by angels. So God was manifested into flesh, meaning the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was how we were here in the morning in heaven, and He was He came from heaven. He's God the Son. There's God the Father and God the Son, and God the Son is the one that came to this world to die for our sins. And it says in that same verse, that's why I like it so much, and that's why there's a lot you can learn from there. It says that He was manifest in the flesh and seen by angels. And right here is where I wanted to see how this mystery has been revealed in this New Testament of from God. He wants us to know this great mystery that people don't want to believe and they don't want to take in for themselves, or they just want to reject it. And it's in verse of Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whom name was Joseph of the house of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto Mary and said, Hail thou, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled that at the saying, and cast in her mind that what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And right here we see that the mystery, how it was saying that the great mystery of God is revealed here. It's not actually a mystery. It's just that's the way it's said. And it's kind of complicated. And I should have said that in the beginning. This verse that I read in the beginning is pretty complicated. But I like it because it tells us what we believe. That he was seen by angels. He was preached in the world and believed by the Gentiles. And believed, well, that's actually us. And here we see how he was announced before he was born by this angel Gabriel that came to speak with Mary. And we could see here that he was going to be great, and his name was going to be Jesus. See, this Jesus was predicted from the beginning of time, when they were in the Garden of Eden, the first people that were in this world. We see there in different places where we could see the Lord Jesus as a sacrifice coming into this world. And that is what we have for you this morning. That you could know that he came to this world so that you could be in a better place while you're in this world, being at peace with knowing that you have no guilt in your conscience. You have no sorrow in your heart of knowing certain things that bother you. He came to this world and he was revealed in this New Testament, throughout the New Testament, that he came to this world. He was announced before, but he came, and he is the Lord and Savior that came from heaven. The other day we were at home and we were eating dinner, and I don't know how it came, but somebody said that we're all going to die, and it was me and my kids, and Bella just jumped up and she was, that means that I'm going to die. We're all going to, she was scared, and it was surprising, well, not surprising, but we could see the surprise that she had in her face, how that fear came to her. And I know there's people maybe that are afraid of dying, and then there's no joke about being afraid, because it's something that we don't know how it's going to feel. We don't know when it's going to come. We don't know anything about death, of when it's going to come. But the Bible says in Hebrews 9 and chapter, in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says that it is appointed for man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. It's talking about that we are appointed only once to die. And then in Revelations, it talks about a second death. So, The first death is the physical death, the one that we're all going to have to go through. Hopefully not. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us with him to be with him forever, and we don't have to see death. And that's what we hope for, and that's what we pray for, that he would come and he would take us from this place and put us in a place that's far better than what we could ever imagine. But it says that it's appointed for man only once to die. That second death that it talks about in Revelations, it talks about a second death of being cast into the lake of fire when God judges those that didn't receive this greatest gift that is being presented to you today of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for your sins. This is the greatest gift that we could have. We don't have to pay for what we have done. We don't have to give anything because he has done everything for us. And this second death is the one that we're not supposed to go through. There's no human in the world that is supposed to go through this second death, because it says that we're appointed only once to die. Only once. So it says there that we should all believe, and we should only die once, being that the body would separate, or our spirit would separate from our bodies. It doesn't say that some are appointed. It says that they're appointed only once to die. But it's not going to be like that. And sad it is that many have already passed and have not taken this great gift that is the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The other day I was on the way to work, and Jackie, we were talking, I told her about it, she saw it too. I was on the freeway, and there was an accident on the side of the freeway, and they had the road closed, but there was no ambulances there. They just had it closed, and it was in, like at 4 in the morning. There was the police were on this side of the street, like maybe 100 feet, the accident, and then another 100 feet, and then another police officer was across like this. And there was all the lights were off where that accident was. And then we passed by this morning, and there was flowers and crosses there. And so, I mean, there was somebody that was not paying attention. Maybe it was on the phone, and we don't know. But somebody, it was a fatal accident. And that's sad if we don't know if they were saved or not. But we have this time on 11 o'clock Sunday mornings, Lord's Day, to share this with you, to show you that it's not a mystery that is unknown, it's a mystery that is revealed. That Christ came to this world, he was born of a virgin, he came from heaven to give his life for us. He came to take our place so that we would not have to go through that dreadful punishment of sin. And he is offering it for you today, that you may not have to be worried about where you're going to be when you die, but be for sure that you are going to be with him for all eternity. And that is the greatest gift that we could all receive. It doesn't take much but to understand with your heart and your understanding what he has done. We see in his word that in the Old Testament were many things that had to be done to get this every year, to get their sins covered, to continue to be able to have a relationship with God. But that's all gone. That's all past. All we need to do is just believe in him. And that's what he wants for us to have a relationship with him. And that's the most peace that you will ever feel or have in your life, is knowing that you have this relationship with the one that gave his life for you. He gave everything. He was in heaven. He had everything. Well, we cannot imagine what he had there, but he gave that up so that he can come into this place for you. I could not imagine having everything that I want and give it just to somebody that doesn't deserve it, just because there's no reason explanation why that would be. But the Bible says that he did that. He gave everything for those that did not deserve anything. It's just the love of God is so great that it's hard to understand, and it's difficult sometimes to comprehend what we read, but we believe it, and we don't understand how much is that love that he had for us. What if you this morning could understand just a little, and you're able to, with your understanding, believe it, then you'll have that forgiveness of sins and have that great gift that is the Lord Jesus. there's this other story that I've been thinking about. It's in Acts, and it's about Paul. Paul was imprisoned for a few times, and at times was more than 2 years. And this time when he was in prison, he was being charged again for something that they were saying that he was making people think things that were not, and all he was doing was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was against this king, Agrippa. And he was telling him how he was saved, how he was on the road to Damascus, and he was, the light shining on him, and he was knocked over his horse, and it was the Lord Jesus that came to him and revealed who the Lord Jesus Christ was, and he was saved that day. And he was explaining this to them, and he was telling them that the Lord Jesus Christ died and he rose again, and that he was now in heaven. And the king was hearing this. This is what he was telling him, what he was in the way preaching to him. And then the king told him that almost he was persuaded to become a believer. And I hope that's not the case here today for anybody that is not a believer, that almost you were almost going to believe, but you decided, I don't want to take it in. I don't want to believe what they're talking about. I don't know if he ever did really understand after that, but it says there that he didn't believe. But now he's dead now for sure, because it's been so many years, but he knows now if it was true or not, what he had been saying. That's why we have the message, and it's up to you to believe if Christ died for you or not, if you want to take it in for yourself. He did it, but it's up to you to believe and to take in what he has given for us, his life, the shedding of his precious blood on the cross. And we just pray that all could believe this great mystery that is revealed in this book here, that is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world to die for sinners. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we continue in thy presence, and we are grateful that we could share this message of salvation. Father, knowing that thy Son was in thy glory, but left it to come to this place, Father, so that we could have a relationship to come to know him as who he is, the one that saved us from condemnation, that we wouldn't have to face that second death, but Father, only to be separated from our bodies and to be with our Lord and Savior for all eternity. Father, we ask if there's anybody here that is not yet saved, that you could allow them and help them to understand that thy Son died for them also. Father, we just pray for this, and we leave thy word in thy hands, in thy Son's precious name. Amen.